You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Blake just asked, question of the day, is Jameis a Hall of Famer?
By the way.
I don't know.
By the way, fewest yards needed for a five-passing touchdown game?
Has to be that.
Second was Eddie LeBaron, Dallas at Pittsburgh. He had five touchdowns and 158 yards.
I don't even know who that is.
Eddie LeBaron was the little fellow. He had the white football.
They named him after the car. That's right.
No.
The car was named after
him. You don't
him.
Remember Eddie LeBaron? He was like a little person.
No.
Yeah, he was a
Kyler Murray?
No. He was a
Dallas. Smaller or taller than Kyler Murray?
I think he was small. Eddie LeBaron was a little fellow.
It's not possible.
He was 5'7".
5'7".
He was a real quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah.
Now, Kyler Murray, Dallas, with his cleats on.
I think they went to Kansas City after that.
Yeah, I think so.
He was one of the original Dallas guys.
So he was 5'7", as it was reported. Kyler Murray, with his cleats on, standing on two phone books, is listed at 5'10".
Yeah, he ain't 5'10". Okay. He ain't
5'10". Eddie LeBaron, alive or dead?
Eddie LeBaron, alive.
Dead.
Oh, well.
April 1st. He was born in 1930. He died in 2015. 5'7", 168 pounds. How hell of a run.
Yeah.
Threw 1,796 passes.
They played with a white football. Go look at
highlights. Must have been a long time ago.
The ball looked like it was like a giant beach ball in his hands. He was a little fella. Longhorn.
We would have killed him as draft analysts.
Speaking of little fellas, let's get Longhorn Keith in here. Let's talk about them horns. What do you say, Longhorn Keith?
Well, Longhorn Keith's not a little fella.
No, but the...
What, you mean like Hudson Card?
It seemed like the Longhorns were against Arkansas.
All right, Keith, you tell us. You're the Longhorn here. I can tell you my household was not a happy household. I was living under duress. I marked myself safe later in the night. I thought the biggest disappointment, you know, once all the jokes are over, was how poorly the defensive front fit up against the running game of Arkansas. Just getting gashed in that one.
Yeah. Before I make that comment, let me just say this too, man. You know, Pete Fine Meats, I went to go see Mike, and I told him I'm a friend of the show, and he double charged me, but nonetheless, it was still good. No, I'm just kidding. Man, Pete's Fine Meats, man. It's the best, man. That Mike is an absolute phenomenal guy, man.
Great person.
The cookies there are to die for. Yeah, the cookies are to die. So, you know, Lance, in my household, it's the same thing. So my girl's an OU grad, law school grad, and so I heard it all night. But I think the thing that really concerns me, Lance, can you speak to this real quick, and then I'll get to my point. Your dad's an offensive line coach. Tell me, when you have a weakness in offensive line or you feel like your offensive line is not producing, what does your dad do? What does he normally do to tell the head coach, hey, look, we're just not getting it tonight?
You never want to just give up and tell the coach. I mean, it's your job as an offensive line coach to try to get it fixed. I mean, and if you have issues with talent, there's one of two things that happens. Either technique isn't right, and that's not going to be fixed in a single game. That takes time, or your talent level isn't great, or maybe the other guy across from you is better. Arkansas's talent should not be better than Texas. It just shouldn't. I mean, that shouldn't be the case. But for some reason, Texas, from an offensive line standpoint, you can go back 15 years, and who are the offensive linemen that they're cranking up who are legitimate long-term pros? Connor Williams and
Cosme?
And here's my point
to that. Sam Cosme, maybe, yeah.
Well, and here's my point to that. I think the problem to me was we haven't had great offense. We haven't recruited well on offensive line. Okay, we'll accept that. The problem I have, though, is on five straight series, Steve Sarkisian, who is reportedly the best or was the best offensive play caller in the game, five straight series on first and second down, he runs the ball. Five straight series. In five straight series, he puts his redshirt freshman quarterback in a hostile environment in third and long. How do you expect to win in those situations? Listen, I understand, and I understand it's one game, so I don't want this to be an overreaction, but I will tell you it is cause for concern when a coach becomes that stubborn or just that blind that you're getting your butt whipped on the line. And you can, with a three-man rush, no less. And yet you're still trying to run the ball for five straight series. How do you expect to come out of
you
it?
You know, here's what I wonder on this one, Keith. See what you think about this. As you're saying it out loud, the one thing that comes to my mind is maybe he's playing the long game and saying, we are going to learn to run the football effectively. And because he was a great play caller at Alabama, but he had the greatest engine that we've seen, like a bunch of five stars, first round picks, all that stuff. We know that. You don't go from being a good play caller to a bad play caller. But I will say that I didn't recognize some of what I saw at the Texas game against Arkansas. I didn't recognize some of the offense they were running. And clearly, he sees Hudson Card as a much different quarterback than Mac Jones or Tua, which I certainly don't blame him. But it didn't look the same. And I think that he's trying to make alterations to make it fit with Bijan Robinson as the top dog. He's saying, okay, we're going to make this work with Bijan Robinson. At some point, though, I'm kind of with you, Keith. As a play caller, I think you got to, if you see that you cannot physically win that matchup or schematically they've got you beat, because it felt like Barry Odom was bringing late defenders into the box. He was doing a lot of late movement
and creating
discomfort for the blocking scheme of Texas. That's what it felt like.
I'll say this last point. My problem with that is I think for him, as a play caller, he's always had somebody and the best person in the game as far as a coach to say to him, no, we're not going to do that. But now as a head coach and a play caller, he makes these calls and no one is saying, no, we can't do that, coach. That doesn't feel right. And so for five straight series to run the same plays or run two running plays on first and second down, and you have no one above you to say, hey, coach, that may not be a good idea. I think he got lost in the sauce in thinking that he was going to make, and I agree with you, he's going to teach this team how to run the football. In that game, though, you have to win the game. You can't get embarrassed like that. And the defensive line was atrocious, and that's supposed to be the strength of the team. I'm not overreacting, but I'm concerned.
John, Keith, we appreciate it.
Do you remember the game that Mac Brown had? This came to my mind because the first thing I thought of was, okay, Route 66 was John Makovic, where he got his ass kicked by UCLA. It was not Mac Brown. But the game that I kind of thought of a little bit where you were supposed to win, Texas was a 7-point favorite. I thought of the Stanford game. Do you remember that? Mac Brown's first, because we had Mac on the air back then. I think he came on the air on a weekly basis. Maybe not. But he didn't come on a weekly basis, but he would come on from time to time. He had the Stanford game, and they lost in his first year, and people were already
like,
oh,
second
my God.
Game.
Yeah, it was like game two. And same thing as this. And I'm wondering if this is going to be a similar thing where Sarkisian, maybe Longhorn fans will look back at it and say, you know, I remember when it was uncomfortable. Because sometimes you have to go through these uncomfortable moments. And I just wonder if Steve Sarkisian was trying to make a point. Once that got out of hand, if he was saying, not even out of hand, if he was saying, we are going to be a team that runs a football. We are going to impose our will. I am in the state of Texas. I've got big offensive linemen. I've got Bijan Robinson. I've got to be able to run the football.
Listen, his best player is Bijan Robinson.
He's got a long-term contract.
I was shocked. I was shocked that Jimbo totally went away from Isaiah Spiller.
I was, too.
I was shocked. I mean, I know that there wasn't much there.
I would have gone
putting the ball
in on
Calzada's
Spiller.
Hands every play and not giving it to Spiller, I was. And then finally, who wins the game for him? Isaiah Spiller. Now, he threw it to him, but he also had a huge run before that in that series. I was like, give Spiller the ball. Holy crap. And I really can't blame. I would imagine Sarkisian went from Alabama and those players, and then he went to Texas and went, yikes.
Oh, yeah. No. There's not a bunch of first-rounders on this team.
No. He probably went, you know what we got? We got one guy that could play at Alabama, and that's Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
And so, you know what we're going to do?
Yeah. And I don't know if he'd start ahead of Brian Robinson. I think he would. But, it's close. But no one else.
No. But he would be on the field at least.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
not sure.
yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, he'd be on
I'm
the
field. I'm not
depth
sure
chart.
He's got a lot of guys at Texas that are going to be on the field for Alabama. So, if I'm him, I'm saying, you know what we're going to do this year? We're going to feed Bijan. That's what we're going to do. And even though they were losing that football game, he's like, no, I agree with you. He said, this is what we are, and this is what we're going to continue to do. Let's get Jack Easterby in. He wants to talk about the big win yesterday. Hey, Jack Easterby.
Jack Easterby. I'm a busy bee. Shout out to Lance for the fire bar. I got two questions for y'all, fellas. Which rookie stud wide receiver looked the best yesterday? And also, which Alabama quarterback looked the best yesterday?
Easy. Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts is the winner.
Jalen Hurts. Jalen looked good, man. I was watching some of that game, too. Yeah. Devontae Smith looked good. I think Devontae Smith had the best game. No. Jamar Chase. Joey B.
Yeah.
Joey Business went up top and found Jamar. Jamar caught footballs yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Did you see him catch footballs?
It was the preseason.
Did you see him put the white lines on it?
No, they didn't put white lines on it. He just caught the football. No, it was the first game.
But this is it, though. Joe Burrow had to make some pinpoint passes when he threw out. It's like it's the same thing as LSU. If you give him one-on-one matchups on the outside, he's going to take his shots, and he's accurate on deep balls. And now he's got Jamar Chase to go with T. Higgins. I mean, it was a good win. Yesterday they had a kicker come in and make a kick at the end of the game, where last year it was Fat Randy missing a kick at the end of the game. Minnesota had a backup kicker basically come in and kick a 52-yard field goal to go to overtime. I thought Zach Taylor kind of played a little give up with running the football instead of trying to get a pass on to create a first down. I didn't think that killing off a timeout was still 2 minutes to go. I didn't think it was that big of a deal, honestly. But I was watching that game on the box of games on DirecTV. But Joe Burrow was pretty good. But Devontae Smith looked good in his game. Jamar Chase
had the best game.
Jamar Chase had the big long touchdown. Yeah. Jalen Waddle had a touchdown. So all three of the rookies had a touchdown. All three of the big three. Yeah. Who else?
And Jalen.
Elijah Moore did nothing. He was a rookie. Kadarius Toney. You know what I heard about Kadarius Toney? He was literally missing. When he was out with an injury, there was a time where the Giants couldn't find him for a week. They didn't know where he was. They couldn't get a hold of him. I've heard the Giants are like, oh, my God, what did we do? I heard they're already freaking out about, God, Kadarius Toney is a potential disaster. But all three of those guys scored touchdowns.
913 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. I was talking about grilling a little while ago. What about, where did I get my grill?
Texas Star Grill Shop. And, you know, Texas Star Grill Shop is I went into the store on Woodway. I wanted to get some new seasoning I did spatchcock chicken, and I wanted to get kind of a sweet and spicy, and they had a rub there perfect for me. And that's what I love. The grills there are unbelievable. The prices they have are the best you're going to find. For any number of wood pellet grills, gas grills, Kamado Joe or Big Green Egg, you know, the ceramic cookers. They've got so many different grills there. They will assemble them and deliver them for you absolutely free, so they're ready to go. But don't sleep on the fact that their experts can help you find just the perfect rubs and the perfect marinades. They've got pizza stones. They've got pizza ovens. They've got the rib racks. They've got the injectors. There's every type of the charcoal, wood pellets. And even the little tins that I have to catch the fat drippings off the grill. Everything that you need. It's a one-stop shop. Is at TexasStarGrillShops.com. There's four locations in the Houston area. Go to TexasStarGrillShops.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, taking your calls about whatever you want to talk about. 713-880-2822, 713-780. What did I say? 2820. That's Jeff Aronoff.
Yeah, I have 713, no idea.
Don't call him to give your sports take. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776, the number to call in here. Raimundo wants to come in and talk about his Texans. What do you say, Raimundo?
Hey, guys! Oh, my God, it's been such a long time!
Welcome in, Raimundo. How are you?
I'm doing great. This weather sucks, though.
Yeah.
I have a Texans question I was hoping that you guys can help me out with.
Go ahead.
Well, I believe our Houston Tejanos played extremely well. They looked phenomenal. And I made a comment right now when I got to the office that I believe they're going to the Super Bowl. And I have a coworker, Mike Rios. Hey, Mike! I believe that they're going to the Super Bowl, and he wants to make a bet that they won't. And he's been really handsy as of late. Oh my god! And I don't blame him. I've been doing my squat, and I just think that they're going to the Super Bowls, and he wants to bet. Should I take that bet, guys?
I think it's a good. What? If you believe in your team, I don't see why
especially
you should.
If you've been doing your squats,
yeah, you've been doing your squats. What kind of office do you work in there, Raimundo? Raimundo left. Hey, you believe in your football team? Go ahead, bet them. Go ahead, bet on your Texans. I can't blame you. No. I don't. Hey, listen, the Saints looked really good yesterday. The Eagles looked really good yesterday. But as far as teams that looked really good, the Texans are right up there.
Yeah, Raimundo, and I love. I love the fact that he's coming in with the energy that this city deserves today.
Yeah.
This team deserves that kind of energy.
I have,
Raimundo, you do not be a stranger on Mondays. Yeah. Win or lose, do not be a stranger, because that's a super fan right there.
Yeah.
He's ready to bet a Super Bowl based on one win against Jacksonville, a team that has now lost 16 consecutive games.
Right, but guess what? The Texans look great. How many teams look great yesterday? The Texans did.
Hey, here's something that's funny. Jacksonville had lost 15 consecutive games and were a favorite on the road with a rookie quarterback.
And a rookie head coach.
Yeah. How'd that go?
How'd that work out for
Houston Tejanos?
Yeah, the Houston Tejanos kicked
ass. I like it. I like it.
That was good stuff. Raimundo, thanks. Yeah, don't be a stranger. Spencer wants to talk
about
it. Stay
on those leg days,
hey,
too.
Hey, Spencer, bring the energy like Raimundo, please.
Somebody said, by the way, somebody in the Twitch said they heard the nickname Ty God instead of Tyrod.
Oh.
That's an interesting first game nickname. Get it in while you can.
Ty God Taylor. I like it. What up, Spencer?
How about them Tigers?
How about them Tigers? Beating up on... Hey, anytime you could take out a McNeese State,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you what.
I tell you what. Ogeron, I don't know what his problem is, but his ability or inability to hire coordinators is just mind-boggling. He hired Matt Canada, who was a complete disaster, and then he got lucky with Joe Brady and Joe Burrow. And then, after Aranda left, Bo Pelini was hired as the defensive coordinator. It was a terrible hire. And now this season, he brings in two new coordinators. The defensive coordinator was his third choice. He's never called a play before. The offensive coordinator worked with Brady last year, so I guess that makes him qualified. He's never called a play before. And then in September or July or August, the offensive line coach gets fired because of a recruiting violation. So you bring in a new offensive line coach who says, let's do a whole new scheme that apparently the offensive lineman can't figure out. It's mind-boggling how far LSU has fallen. And for them to put up that few yards against McNeese State, they are going to lose by 30, 40 points once they get in the conference play. Auburn just put up 62. They're going to get blown out. Like, I honestly don't see how he coaches next year, and I don't think he lasts the season. And, we'll always have 2019. It was one of the greatest seasons in college football history, especially if you're an LSU fan. And it is just unbelievable how bad the coaching is right now. So that's all I got.
One of the things that is, and I get all that, it's so crazy that we live in a world where you go undefeated, you beat Bama and Bama, you have a Heisman Trophy winner, you win the Joe Moore Award for Best Offensive Line, the very next you lose a record number, I want to say 14 players to the NFL draft, a record number of players that were drafted. The next year, not only have you lost all your starters, but you have COVID pull its business on you in 2020, and now we're two games into 2021. And all anyone is talking about, by the way, it was before this game. is Ed Orgeron being gone. I get it if you want to talk about, you know, the stuff with behind the scenes with Darius Geis and if there's cover up of this, that, and the other. It just blows my mind that LSU won a national championship in an incredible year, and we're not even 2 years removed for that, and people just are done with Ed Orgeron. Now, nothing he said was incorrect. Ed Orgeron has a real problem finding the right coordinators, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, he had two of the best in Brady and Aranda, right?
Yeah. Lost them both. I mean, and Aranda went to Baylor.
It's not, it ain't easy. It ain't easy replacing them, dude. I mean, I really look at the difference in Lovie Smith and Anthony Weaver, and I hate to keep harking because Anthony Weaver's a great guy. He was really in over his head as far as a defensive coordinator, but the Texans have as many interceptions in one game as they did all of last year. It's so important to have those assistant coaches. It's so important to have, you know, competent guys that are leading your team. If you don't, you ain't winning nothing.
Nothing.
If you don't have assistant coaches. And now Orgeron's having a hard time. When he had them, look at what they did. Now that he doesn't, look what they're doing. They suck. It was bad. It was like 17-7 late in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It was bad.
It's just not, they're just not back offensively. I mean, they're going to have to, they don't have the quarterback that they need right now. They don't have, I mean, you lost some tremendous wide receivers. And they're going to have to get that stud running back back. I mean, I think that's something that's really missing right now is you're going to have to start dominating games on the ground and see if you can find that running back. But I don't know. It's just weird to me that Ed Orgeron is like, people think he's on the hot seat and wanting to make it through the year, and he won a national championship 2 years ago. It's just kind of, I don't know. It's just a very strange situation, but it is what it is. I mean, it's what Spencer said. All that stuff is true. You know, supposedly he is on the hot seat there.
No, he's
just kind of crazy. He wins a national championship. He's on the hot seat.
No, he's absolutely on the hot seat. Let's get William in here before we take a break. Hey, William.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Hey,
a couple things. First of all, I'm one of those guys that was on the Texans are going to suck this year bandwagon. I still am. It was a hell of a game, whatever. I wanted to ask, A, you think Bill O'Brien was watching yesterday's game sitting at home? And B, what do you think about Coach Culley being probably one of the only coaches that I saw on TV yesterday that didn't have that playbook in front of his nose trying to make 50 million calls at a time? That's all I got.
Yeah.
So
well, he's not coordinating, which is nice, which is most every coach can't trust. You saw Zach Taylor calling his plays, Sean McVay's calling his plays. A lot of head coaches anyway are calling their plays. David Culley has left it all up to his guys, and that's great. And he's got competent people. Tim Kelly did a hell of a job yesterday. Lovie Smith did a hell of a job yesterday. But David, it is so nice to have a head coach right now. After Bill, listen, this is what you do. If you have a defensive coach and you fire him, you're going to go get an offensive guy. You have an a-hole as a coach, you're going to go get a nice guy. You got a guy who takes on too much, but every job in the building like Bill O'Brien did, you're going to get a guy that you want that doesn't do any of the jobs. And that's exactly what you get the opposite. He took every job.
He was a cap guy, a GM, a head coach, an offensive coordinator. He took every job.
Every job. He wanted to pay nobody. He was so selfish. And David Culley said, I'm going to tell you about David Culley. I'm going to stand on the sidelines, and I'm not going to do anything. And
analytics has those things out there.
Yes. I'm going to look at analytics, and then I'm going to decide whether or not. You know what was great? They didn't have to make many decisions yesterday. They didn't have to make any, decisions where you're going, hey, David Culley, what kind of analytics did you use there? You didn't have to do any of that.
All right, so here's what David Culley had to say about stats. Yesterday, David Culley had brought up about the stats, what they held Trevor Lawrence to or whatever.
Right.
Here's David Culley talking about stats.
Basically, the only numbers that matter to us is us not turning the ball over. That number is very important to us. And the other number is us getting turnovers and being able to get them off the field in third and long type situations. And for us, the numbers really doesn't matter unless it's those particular numbers. I know analytics has those things out there.
He didn't. That was David Culley. You added that.
David Culley, not a numbers guy.
Not a numbers guy. He don't care about that.
No. There's, you know what stats
you know
he cares
what,
about?
You know what the numbers
takeaways
are?
Takeaways and wins.
37-21. That was the numbers that you care about. That's it. That's all we care about. Okay, so those are the numbers. 929 ESPN 97.5. Someone 3780-37. We're taking calls the rest of the
I
way.
Like being around them.
I love David Culley. David Culley is my favorite coach now in the city of Houston.
He is one of my favorite
Houston
coaches.
Yes.
Because he's just, he is such the uncle at the barbecue. I mean, he is Uncle David Culley.
You know what they
the
said
guy.
On the broadcast?
They said he was great, that everyone loved him at Vanderbilt.
No.
Everyone loves him everywhere. Everyone in the NFL loves him.
No.
Everyone loves David Culley.
No, they said he was the older black guy at the barbershop.
Who said that?
They said that on the broadcast.
Two white guys on a broadcast?
Two white guys. No, somebody told those guys that.
Who was on the broadcast yesterday? Oh, somebody told them that?
Yeah, somebody told them that.
Yeah, that's doable. I could see that. But he's uplifting. Like, he is the positive uncle.
Yeah.
He is the positive. Like, David Culley is.
Pretty sure it was David Culley.
David Culley is actually. Probably was. Huh? David Culley is the. So far, the polar opposite of Bill O'Brien. Like, it can't be. Bill O'Brien screaming at people in the building, making everyone miserable. People who are still there in the building working in the front office were miserable. People who are gone were miserable. Everyone was miserable. There's no way David Culley yells at people.
You heard
There's
that on the TV
no
broadcast,
way.
John?
I'm pretty sure, yes.
There wasn't two white guys on the TV broadcast?
Who was it?
It was Greg Gumbel and Adam Archuleta. So you had a black guy there.
Oh, no, yeah. No, but I forget who said it. I forget some. And I'm pretty sure they said it. I know,
but
and
Lance
I heard this.
Out,
I watched every. I watched
that.
About every game yesterday, but I'm pretty sure it was during the Texas broadcast, game. And they said he was like the older black gentleman at the barbershop. And I was like,
well,
okay.
They mean a black barbershop or like somebody who's at a, like a old-timey white barbershop and there's a
no,
black
no,
guy.
No.
What do they mean?
It was a black barbershop they were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That might have been Greg Gumbel saying that then. Maybe he's saying he's like, there's a specific guy at the barbershop.
Maybe
that's
was.
What
maybe
he means.
Was.
Like, he's that guy.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what he meant.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that's an unreasonable.
No.
I think anything that you're saying positive about David Culley is great. Do I think he's the long-term option? I'll say no, but if his team plays hard under him, and if he does a good job with his coordinators, you know, being the CEO of a team, there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to play. Jimmy Johnson wasn't calling the plays. You don't have to be a play caller as long as guys play hard for you. And at some point, you need them to, you know, at some point, you need the GM to draft good players.
No, I need him to make decisions. And you know what? He made good decisions yesterday. There was one, well, I don't know. Except in there was one that was, you know, I thought at the time, I'm not sure if I would accept this penalty. It was third. They just got done, and they got a holding call. They put him in third and 19, and then Malik Collins roughed the passer, and the next play they scored. That was, you know, that was questionable. I thought, I don't know if I'd accept this. Let them try to kick the field goal, but you took him out of field goal range, so Malik Collins kind of screwed that up for you.
So, I was driving home from there. I heard Mark and
I would have
Vandermeer
it.
Talk about
I thought
it.
It was questionable, though.
I took it because it takes you out of field goal
range. Out of field goal range. Right.
And then you had him in the very next play, and then that was
the
Malik Collins.
Yeah. His second roughing the passer. Yeah.
Terrible.
And it was a bad one, too.
Keep your hands
933 ESPN 97.5, someone 3780-3776. Make yourself a patio.
Texas Custom Patios will make it for you. Get your patio of your dreams. Go look at the work that they've done at TexasCustomPatios.com. You can go look at TCPLance.com, and that's very specifically a patio that they built for me. You can see the before and the after. You're going to be like, what in the world? How did they do this much? But that's just standard operating procedure for them. They see it. They design it. They draw the CAD stuff up for you so you can see exactly what it's going to look like for you. They stay on course in terms of what their timelines are. Unless the weather's just, you know, absolutely atrocious for a long time. And the cost stays exactly what they tell you. They never go to you for more money. If there's ever a mistake or any issues that need to be corrected, they do it out of their pocket. And what they build for you is an outdoor living space or outdoor kitchen or freestanding patio or pool house that is going to blow you away. It is going to really add so much value to your property, but really it's going to add value to your quality of life. And that's what it's about. Live your best life. And Texas Custom Patios can help you do that. They'll even finance your dream patio as well. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 938 on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. 7378-03776. You've got any thoughts? Your Texans won. Your Astros won 2 out of 3 this weekend. That's awfully important. That is totally sweet. Your Longhorns struggled. Your Aggies won barely 10-7 on a late touchdown by Isaiah Spiller, and it doesn't look good. We'll get the update from Jimbo tomorrow on Haynes King, but it doesn't look good. The Cougs beat the Owls 44-7. Completely dominated that football game, and that was something that Dana needed. And Rice didn't need that so much, so I feel bad for the Owls there. But other than that, locally, oh, man, did you see North Shore lost?
Yeah.
To Westfield?
Yeah.
That's Coach Hill. JT's coach is the offensive coordinator at Westfield.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he works for Matt Meekins over there.
What? That's the first time they've had a regular season loss in how long? How long has that been?
I don't know, but holy crap. Yeah, they beat them, and it was what a game! And that is something. I mean, North Shore is a beast. North Shore is the head and shoulders above. So for Westfield to do that, congratulations to those guys. Way to go, Coach Meekins, Coach Hill, and the defense. I don't want to leave out the defensive coordinator, but I don't know his name. So, but to hold, I think it was 27-21 was the final.
Yeah,
to hold North Shore to 21 points. Holy crap! Nice job. Hey. Of course, that's a defensive team. To score 27 on North Shore was something good.
Couple, I want to go over just we've done a lot of Texan stuff. Just go over some of our thoughts about what happened in the games yesterday. Buffalo looked like they were in complete control, and then T.J. Watt got a strip sack, and the whole thing fell apart on Buffalo. Pittsburgh beat Buffalo in Buffalo. That's a big win for Pittsburgh to pull that one off. Jets Carolina is really not a lot to talk about. I mean, Sam Darnold had like 235 yards in the first half. He ended up with 250, 260. I guess he kind of got revenge. Kyler Murray, so I talked about this a little bit with RJ because RJ asked me about this game. You know, J.J. Watt, J.J. has seen the blocking schemes of the Tennessee Titans. He knows their offensive linemen. Mm. I wonder how much of an impact J.J. Watt had maybe with did you see Chandler Jones had five sacks and kicked the living turds out of Taylor Lewan? And Taylor Lewan had a post like, thank you for kicking my ass. It's going to make me work harder and be a player. Like, don't post that on Twitter. Just go get better. What are you doing?
Well, not, but I think.
But you, Kyler Murray was good in five sacks.
But you hit it on the head earlier in the week when you were breaking it down with RJ, is that, you know, they're bigger linebackers or quicker linebackers and strong safeties that are bigger.
Yeah.
And they're able to stop the run.
They were built. I thought they were built to beat Tennessee in a weird way. And then D-Hop, and now that they added A.J. Green and D-Hop, you got Janoris Jenkins, who's going by Jackrabbit now. Jackrabbit Jenkins, one of their starting corners, is 5'10", and Christian Fulton's the other one. That's not good enough. And then Cliff went to a lot of 4-wide receiver sets because he's basically saying, oh, we're going to make you have as many of your – which that came from Greg. I took that from Greg Cosell on Friday. He's like – I bet you Cliff goes out doing what he does best, which is going to more wide receivers. And he did do some of that, and it really put Tennessee in a bad spot. They got the crap kicked out of them by Arizona. Chargers won in Washington. You had an injury.
Did you see what the Chargers did with the Muppets afterwards?
Yeah.
On Twitter?
Their social media account.
Go to @Chargers on Twitter and see what they did. They did an L thing for the Washington logo, the W. Yeah. They put an L instead.
Did you see how quick, what's his name, Ryan Fitzpatrick went out?
Yeah.
He went out fast. They brought in Taylor Heinicke. Chargers, a team who lost close games 6 times last year, They won a close one this time, 20-16 against Washington.
What about Seattle, the way that they...
Seattle kicked the
Tyler Lockett is...
I mean, Lockett on Kyrie Willis. Basically, they matched and schemed. They schemed up how to get the Tyler Lockett matched up on the safeties of the Colts, and that was all she wrote. Good game for Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. Joe Burrow gets a W, and Ja'Marr Chase has a big game against Minnesota, 27-24. San Francisco was winning 41-17 at the two-minute mark. They won 41-33, and they had to hold off Detroit from having another shot at a touchdown. It was Kyle Shanahan, just run the football. What is it with you and trying to – like you? Okay, it's not your fault that they pick up a – you know, an onside kick and score another touchdown on it. But then he throws and the ball is fumbled. It's caught and fumbled on the third down, and Detroit gets it back. And they're driving down trying to get another touchdown. It was unbelievable. It's one of the worst backdoor covers I've ever seen. San Francisco.
It was the worst. Thank you. And
don't tell me you had
And Mostert, two runs, boom, 20 yards, and he's out of the game.
And he's out of the game. Is he out for the year?
I don't know. It's a knee.
Yeah, Elijah Mitchell had a good game. Miami gets a win thanks in large part to Damian Harris's fumble as New England was getting ready to take the lead. Cleveland had a lead for much of the game, but Kansas City came back in the second half.
Oh, the punter.
33-29 there. New Orleans, we know, beat Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, maybe the worst game of his career. Teddy Bridgewater, solid game.
Danny Dimes looked bad.
It's really a struggle. And then the Rams beat Chicago. Before we go, who do you like tonight, Raiders or Ravens?
Raiders at home in their opener.
I do, too. I think losing so many running backs is just going to take its toll. I kind of like the Raiders in this one, too.
Yeah, I don't think
Marcus Peters. You lose Marcus Peters. You know, the Raiders have some speed over there, like Henry Ruggs.
Yeah, and Darren Waller is going to have a huge game. All right, 945 ESPN 97.5. News a little weird coming your way next. But that, you know what's the underdog, Lance?
Underdog Fantasy is going from underdog to the favorite, and why not when you have guys like Kevin Durant and Mark Cuban on your side, Adam Schefter, these are all investors in Underdog Fantasy, and I think they've done a great job. I mean, underdogfantasy.com, I use Underdog Fantasy, had some games going yesterday and won some of my matchups yesterday. I broke even for the day, but I was just a couple away. I did the pick'ems. I had three going, and oh, my gosh, I had Debo Samuel, Justin Jefferson, and I didn't get enough out of Justin Jefferson there. I had another one where I lost because Jimmy Garoppolo, I thought he'd have one interception. He didn't have an interception. Dallas Goedert missed my yardage by 3 yards, or I would have won $48 on an $8 play. Listen, you can do head-to-head rivalry matchups. You can do pick the over-unders on a variety of players. And if you pair them together, two or more, you got a chance to win multiplier. So it's like a parlay. And Underdog Fantasy, of course, has incredible daily fantasy action, too. I love playing head-to-head. I can get in head-to-head matchups or three, four, six owners. It doesn't matter. So much to play. So much to do. Underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code radio. Get a $25 bonus on your first deposit. That's underdogfantasy.com. Promo code radio.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Did you see, oh, by the way, Emma Raducanu, she won the U.S. Open. She had hoped going in that she would win enough money to replace her broken iPod earpieces.
Mm-hmm. She's a little better than that.
She won $2.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
she. I had no.
She came really
say,
came out of nowhere though.
Here's the new Sharapova.
Yeah.
So I had to look her up. Like, yeah, well, she's 18. Cute girl.
Yeah. So she's got a she's got a very bright future, and she's got $2.5 million too. So she's a catch, guys, out there.
Yeah.
See, shoot your shot.
Alec, are you listening?
Yeah.
Nah, I like his girlfriend now.
You like his girlfriend?
Yeah. But.
But $2.5 million.
I'm just saying.
$2.5 million is $2.5 million.
I mean, no, I think he's, yeah.
Inhaling onion fumes does not kill COVID-19, Lance. So you can,
since when?
Well, this is what. A post has been shared thousands of times on Facebook, multiple blog posts, that the coronavirus can be killed by inhaling onion fumes and eating onions. It's probably someone who grows onion onions.
You think it's the onion lobby?
It could well be.
Hey, guys, did you hear what onions do?
Yeah.
Stop it, onion lobbyist.
Yeah. A plane had to make an emergency landing after a passenger refused to leave the toilet.
Oh, boy. That is a fun time.
But a plane carrying 134 people made an emergency landing in Graz in Austria when one of its passengers refused to leave the toilet. He locked himself in the toilet shortly after takeoff from Cyprus to Zurich. Why can't he just stay in the toilet if he wants to? Maybe he's doing stuff. I don't know what he wants. Why do we have to land the plane?
Because other people need to get in the toilet.
Well, there's been open more than one toilet on there.
No, we all need to get in the toilet.
But why can't I just stay in the toilet if I want to?
You know what? You imagine how mad those people are.
What if I ate too many onions or something? Okay,
could be a problem.
I'm lactose intolerant. I'm trying to shut down the coronavirus. Apparently, anti-vaxxers had a plan in London.
They are
going to shut down the city. Everyone presses a pedestrian crossing button at the same time. Apparently, it didn't work.
No, never worked. Does anyone think that thing works?
I don't know, but the group asked participants to push the traffic light buttons at the same time, and did you ever hear that story?
Flushing the toilet at the same time?
Yeah, flushing the toilet at the same time at school, and yeah. then you could shut down the school. It would break all the pipes.
I guarantee you that's where that started from.
Yeah.
They all know. Remember when you could flush the toilet in the loo? And then it will ruin everything. Let's do the same thing with this crosswalk, yeah?
Yeah.
All right? Let's do the crosswalk thing. Or push the button, shut down the whole of London, yeah?
Yeah.
And that'll be rubbish for the people that want us to get the vaccines. It'll teach them. Well what will it teach? What are you trying to teach them? What are you doing? What's your end game here, sir?
So, you know that Roomba vacuum thing that vacuums your house by itself?
Yeah, I know.
Well, apparently it had a problem. If there was like dog poop in your house, it would just smear it all over. But now it's new and improved.
How's that? Apparently it has
AI to avoid smearing it all. It can detect dog poop.
I can too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I don't know. A company is going to pay someone $1,300 to watch 13 horror movies in October. Do you want to watch 13 horror movies for $1,300?
I don't.
I don't either. I don't want that $1,300. You can have it. I don't want it.
I don't want it.
No.
I am going to watch Malignant, though, on HBO Max.
I'm not going to do that.
I don't want to watch it.
I think it's stupid to watch a horror
movie. Scary movies scare you. You don't like scary movies.
No. No. A 101-year-old woman is still working on a lobster boat, and she has no plans to retire. There she is, Lance. Do you want to be working at 101 years old?
Boy, do I. I don't want to be working at... I didn't want to be working at 31.
I don't want to work tomorrow. And here we are, okay? I don't know why. A Canadian academic is not going to use capital letters except to acknowledge Indigenous people's struggles.
Okay. And what's the thing? Can you explain that to me?
Well, if you're an academic, shouldn't you use capital letters?
I saw something this weekend where a guy said, he goes, I've got a new rule. If what you're doing, if the headline looks like something that would be on The Onion, stop doing it. This would fit.
But
to be fair, most of News of the Weird would fit.
It would fit. Yeah, it's on Reddit.
But that one would fit. If you think what you're doing fits in the Onion as a headline, then don't do it
Stop
anymore.
Stop doing it. Charlie Polillo will talk about his Texans and his Astros next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.